The following presentation, Resilience Overview, was given by Andrew Davis of Janet at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
His first experience of working with Janet was in 1996, he was telling me. Bath University. I had to ask Andy, when was the first time that he broke the, or how many times has he broken the acceptable use policy? And Andy's response was, I've never broken the acceptable use policy, except for that 100 times. So, while your presentation loads, Andy. Brilliant. So, Andy.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for this opportunity to come and talk to you all. As you can see, my name's Andrew Davis. I work for a little group within Janet called the Applied Network Services Group, and we look after about 14 different services. I've worked for them for probably about 6 years now, and in that time, things like DNS, we ran a small DNS service, took up about 10% of my time, and over the years now we're probably looking at about 70% of my time is spent looking after, sort of advising about DNS issues and how we can use Janet's primary name server service to sort of help with resilience. Also, we have a few other little services as well I've tagged on as well. So some of this will sort of cross over into the business continuity area as well, or service continuity area. As I said, this is some of the services I look after. They've expanded over the years. Primary Name Server Service started off initially back in 2004, and its prime goal really was just to supply small organizations with some form of external DNS. In the last sort of 3 years, one, I got fed up with filling in forms to handling the change processes, where everyone needed to email in, can you change the record for this? Because of the rise of Google and Microsoft, we're getting a lot of requests for putting in the validation text strings into the DNS. So we was just talking to one of my colleagues. He said, there's not something we can do, let people do it themselves. I'm sure a lot of people can do it themselves. They just haven't got the technology on site to do this. So we came up with a small solution. And then from then on, we also had a requirement in some of the universities, some of the bigger colleges were also asking, well, what can we do? We think we're too big for Janet. We don't really want Janet to host the whole of our external DNS, but can you do bits and pieces of it? And we came up with the backup master and the auto failover solutions, which to date, we've got probably about 25 organizations using backup master. Several of those are large universities. Leeds University itself was the first one. In fact, we trialed it with Leeds University with Dr. Chin Lee. And he's used it in anger from last, I'm thinking the last time he wrote in Janet News three times that it's been used to sort of get around problems. Secondary name servers service, that's been around again a long time. Strongly recommend people use that. Backup MX is just a part of Janet MailerShield. I'll go into that a little later on. Backup web hosting pages, again, is another little thing we did. People wanting something very quick, very easy to put up if they've got an outage or they've got planned maintenance and things like that. Maybe not so much for the big HEs, but for some of the smaller colleges and the FEs, it was really useful. Little service. Web hosting is good old bog standard web hosting. SMS and 3G I'll touch on as well. Prime Name Server Service, as I said, set up in 2004. We now have just under 300 organizations subscribing to that. Most of that's probably in the FE sector, but the HE certainly is moving on now, certainly using, we'll look at some a little later on, the backup master. But some universities have actually moved some of their external DNS to us. It's good. It provides a good basic service. It's quick and easy. The SLA for setup is about 5 working days. We normally turn it around inside sort of 24 hours. We can do it quicker. I said my fastest one to date is 8 minutes from an outage where the secondary name servers weren't, the zones had timed out basically. We were just about to time out and we needed to do something very quickly. And I think John Martin King will talk about that a little later on this afternoon as well in his plenary. Again, part of this sort of thing about moving the name server-service on was the ability to get users to be able to, the end user, to do it themselves as well. You're all capable people. It was painful for me. You'd send me an email saying, can you make an A record change, or can you put this Google string in, please? But we need to do it tonight. Of course, Janet isn't a 24-hour organization from that point, from the sort of DNS side of it. The servers are running, obviously, we've got monitoring, but we don't have people there all night waiting to put in a string of text. So came up with a self-service administration portal. Again, I got some pictures of that. It's not very sexy. It's designed deliberately to look very, very plain, because you can use virtually almost any device to use that. Multiple domains from one account. Again, we just, if you've got a lot of organizations, obviously don't just have one domain, they've got their reverses, they've got other domains and things like that, they've got .orgs. We can host all of that under one account, so you can just go in there and just choose anything you like. You choose whichever domain you want to work with. Only thing with that is you have to ask us to load the domain or the zone initially, so you just provide us with a copy of the zone file, or if you want to, it's just populate it yourself, but we'll just create the bare shell for you. Ability to use the portal from most network-connected devices. Well, I can use it on an iPad and an iPhone, sitting in Cafe Nero, or other coffee shops obviously available, using a BT Wi-Fi and using a BT VPN client as well. It works. As long as you can get a public IP address, so we know where you're coming from, you can tell the service, this is my originating, you put in your originating IP address, which is normally your home IP address range, so slash nothing more than, nothing less than 20/23, so anything upwards from there is fine. You can go on there, log in, say, look, this is where I'm from, this is my user credentials. Then it'll allow you then to put in a temporary of 1 day through to 1 month, a temporary additional IP address. So like I say, you're the one that BT will issue you. It'll tell you what the IP address is as well, so that you don't have to sort of faff around trying to find some sort of tool to tell you what your actual public IP address is. So to date, I've not had any issues accessing that. I've tried it with all the obscure things I could find. No doubt somebody will find something really obscure to sort of try and sort of thwart that plan, but on the whole, it's been very useful. I don't really sort of envisage many administrators sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, but it's that thing when you can't control, when you lost your site and you need to work from somewhere else, that ability to get onto your DNS, to point it to your WWA records or whatever, to point them to another record, to another site, so that you can keep at least keep your web presence continuing. Right, only caveat in this, not suitable for dynamic DNS. Got some organizations, I think we were looking at UEA, we're looking at this as in a backup master, I'll show you in a minute, but they do something like 60 to 70,000 lines. It's building on the fly all the time. Latency would also be a problem, I would expect, as well. So really, from that point of view, but as I'll come on to in a minute, we can change this. We can delegate subdomains, and you can put all your most important bits in there, delegate that to Janet. We give you the portal. You can control that, use CNAMEs and things like that. But I've got some examples later on. Largest account, like I say, we have, it's more actually just gone up from 160 domains they manage to 176. And that's because it's a local authority. Now, we haven't got the manpower to run all the schools. So they needed a way of being able to manage the schools. So they get bogged down with the usual thing. It's costing them something like £17 for each half hour that they requested a third party to manage their DNS. That's a Janet Connected customer. It's free of charge. They now manage all of their zones for the schools. And again, this gives them peace of mind as well, because the problem also was that their current supplier, that the previous supplier, didn't have a really good uptime. They were having problems, bits and pieces of flaky. So they've sort of moved it all in-house, and they've been very, very happy with it. They do all the work. Like I said, Janet can't do all the work for processing all these changes for 160 schools, 176 schools. It'd be just too much for us. We'd have to employ people specifically waiting for these requests. So this was a happy thin medium. So again, like I said, it goes back to this thing, you can load multiple domains underneath there as well. This is what the portal looks like once you've gone through all the rigmarole of logging on. If anyone's interested, I will show you, I can demonstrate it to anyone later as well with my laptop or iPad. This is what you see when you come in. Normally you'd have underneath the, down here, you'd have all your zones listed as well, so you'd see which one you wanted to use. Again, click on these, put your address records in, name server records, whatever. Most people, and I'll move to the next one, prefer to use the old editor, so yeah, just a good old bog standard editor. That works well, but be mindful that you need to apply your zones. Most, a lot of people get caught out. They just click on the save button thinking it's done and then suddenly go, why aren't my records published? You need to apply the zone changes first. What else can I say about this? Like I say, it works very well on the iPad. Again, going back to the thing about dynamic DNS, now with Leeds University, they've got a lot of records. Now we can do up to about, when we start wanting to talk to you about PNS service, the primary name server service, you know, it's a question of, we'll sort of put an arbitrary figure in there of 1,500 records is what we recommend. Only because when you're sat there with a very small device and you're desperately trying to make an, you know, edit something, it could be a real pain going through 1,500 records trying to find the one you want. But any more than that, just talk to us and there's ways and means around all of these things. It's again, and also increased latency if you suggest you should be using dynamic DNS. DNS Backup Master. This really came out of the HE side. They were looking for ways of failing over or using another name set of name servers if the site's name servers went down. Usual thing, connectivity. And I was quite surprised how many organizations actually do have big problems in a year. I've had sort of large institutions asking us, threat of job loss, etc. We need to sort this out. And we came up with this little feature, and this was with, again, the University of Leeds. So if you need to talk to anyone, I don't know if Chin's here at all, but he's certainly worth it. He probably can talk to you a lot about the actual day-to-day use of this service. Again, free of charge. It's part of the primary name server service. The only thing is you will be tagged as a primary name server customer to Janet. Now, it doesn't mean all the rest of your domains are owned by us. It's just this one specific one or whichever you want to delegate to us. Allows you to continue updating your DNS records. All that happens, right, basically, is we create a copy using Janet Web Portal. You have access to your zones, and they are held as a slave. As long as you can allow us to transfer, we'll allow you to transfer to our servers, our name servers, the records, then we keep populated that way. So you need to keep that sort of that refresh going fairly quickly, just to make sure it's up to date. But if the worst does happen, just come onto the go onto the portal, toggle it from slave. I go back from master to slave. I think we talk. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, we talk about it here. This area here. That you need to be toggling back, going on to Janet, toggling Janet to become the primary name server, and we take over at that point. So if your DNS servers aren't available, log on to your Janet Backup Master and toggle the portal into the master mode. Perform functions such as redirecting traffic to alternative sites. Okay, so in this function, what it allows you here also is that you can obviously have the ability to change if you need to be pointing at a different web server. Again, if you've got your web servers on site and you need to be pointing to a backup somewhere, such as the Janet Static, we had a backup web hosting service. It's just a small page. You can just point it at that saying, we've got some issues, sorry. Put a link to social media or whatever, a telephone number, and people can get through to that way. Then you can obviously, at the end of the issue, or maybe just a sort of a maintenance period, you can toggle back. The only thing at the end of that is you need to move back back onto the Janet name server, change it into slave mode this time, go back onto your own name servers and increment the serial number by one to just to make sure that it is known as the primary again. As it says at the bottom there, Janet name servers don't push back to your primary, so anything you've done in your on the Janet servers won't take effect. But it does mean you have to have a little bit of planning. Obviously, if you've done a whole load of changes during that particular outage or maintenance period, you'll need to make sure that they're reset to however you want. But that will be taken up by, I presume, obviously, thinking about it, ignore me what I just said then, because obviously the zone will refresh. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Automatic failover. Again, people wanted something. Again, it was primarily done by the HE sector, wanted this early. It's King's College. We're looking for something. Basically, they just wanted their web service to be monitored. And that's where we sort of came up with this. It's just a simple text record. Well, it's not simple. It's a special text record. But again, it allows an organization to set up a resource record, call it dr.orgname.ac.uk, and you delegate that specific to a specific domain to Janet. Create the records for the failover. We can help with that, but it's a relatively straightforward process. I think it's just a text string. It equals fail, the primary site, and then your cascading IP addresses, and you can do a notify on there, so it can email you as well to say that it's got to the X point, it's onto your third failover server. So if it can't find the first address, it goes to the second. If you can't find that, you can do it. And at the end of it, you can drop it as well if you don't want anything else to happen. So once you've created your delegation, within Backup Master, you can also use this record within the automatic, within the Backup Master, so that if you toggle onto it, the automatic failover can take over straight away as well. So this gives you a bit of extra flexibility of making sure that your web presence is maintained. Again, it's a very similar process. If you're using Janet already for your primary name service, add this in. It's not a problem. It's very simple. Use the web portal. It's not useful for bare domains and things like that. So that becomes a little more tricky. But again, talk to Janet. We'll talk to you and we'll go through the options and things like that. Most of the time we have to discuss because you've got special requirements and things like that. But we do, we'll do a lot of bespoke stuff around this and advise you what we need to do, what we want, what we need to do and how to test. I'm rambling a little bit. Again, at the end, after the delegation, with the org name for the subdomain, change your A record to a C name. And as in the example there, it's a www.dr.orgname. This allows you then full control, because if you didn't want that CNAME to carry on from the point of view in your own records, you just want to drop it, you want to get rid of that side of the Janet side of it, so the automatic failover, you can just change that CNAME back into an A record again. And then that sort of option of failing over won't take effect. Secondary name service. Again, free of charge. I would strongly recommend, if you haven't got it and you need something offsite, go for it. It's a simple setup, really is a simple setup. But you need to check that your zones are transferring. A lot of times, probably last year, probably 8 or 9 organisations failed to check that their secondary name servers were actually being updated. So come the fateful time, guess what? You go offline. But yeah. We don't check, you need to do this check. We don't proactively monitor that at all. So please make sure, just because you've got it in name, it shows up in your name service, it doesn't mean the zones are actually transferring. Usual problems are, is this the firewall blocking, is it port 53? Like I said, very simple setup, just an email or a call to Janet Service Desk. And then minimal site configuration. It's just your allowing the transfers and just ensuring that they're working. MX Backup. Again, this is not so much for the big organizations who can handle their own the sort of mail flows, but this is for sort of small end, high end, small end HE, high end FE. allows organisations to store incoming emails on Janet storage. Problems people get is they just get this deluge of spammers and whatever coming through. So what we can do is just do a forwarding service, basically strip out using grey listing and things like that, strip out the unwanted stuff and just deliver it to you. But it also, if somebody's trying to sort of throw an awful lot of email at you, it'll rate control it as well, so that you don't become overwhelmed by what's going on, the amount of email coming in. It's intended as a short-term solution from the point of view of it stores for up to 7 working days the email. It will do longer, but you need to talk to us first, because also the other thing at the end of it is, yes, it stores all the emails, but it also stores all your spam. A lot of these backup, you see these sites you can sort of purchase, these backup MX sites, they don't run as much filtering as you would on your own services, so they allow a lot more spam to come through. If you can provide us with a user list, brilliant. If not, they use grey listing, which then sort of builds up a profile of who you are, what you are, and obviously using other lists, say a blocking list and things like that in tandem, will try and keep down. But of course, obviously, come when your MX servers come back up, the mail will start to be released, but it's controlled. But equally, it's all this filtered, the unfiltered stuff will be coming through. So you may find it takes a little while to come on through. Backup web hosting. Again, this is to enable organisations to maintain a static web page in the event of the loss of your connection. Customers also use this, so this is in conjunction, you can use this as a failover page if you're using the automatic failover. This, by the way, you can do yourselves the automatic scripts as well, it's easy enough. If you want to know what it is, come see me and I can give you, or contact the service desk and I can give you a URL to the online manual. But this just gives you a little bit of something that you control, a web page that you control. As long as you're not using sort of dynamic web pages and things like that. We can do CGI on the clients, it's fine. So you can have quite a complicated website, but obviously you've got to be able to maintain it. And again, this is a question of, again, you just have to change your IP addressing over to us. So if you know, some customers don't want to let go of their IP, obviously their DNS. What they can do is obviously they build into this. So if they know they're going on a maintenance period, you obviously have to be beforehand, make sure your TTLs are nice and short, move over the IP address to face points towards the Janet backup web hosting servers, and then refresh the zone, fine, everything goes okay. Remembering at the end that you'll also, when your servers come back, your DNS servers come back, you'll also need to change the IP address back. Some organizations, a lot of the Welsh ones, I've done a very nice little web page where, again, like I say, it points towards social media and things like that, because that's a good way of sort of passing out messages and things like that of what's going on, providing updates. But again, this ability to use this with the Janet Primary Name Server service and the backup backup master, primary DNS master, is very good. Again, you've got a site ready built that you can just flick over to if you don't have an alternative to hand and you don't want to be purchasing anything. To upload the pages using SCP, the Windows version we found a little flaky, so everything else is okay, but Windows can be a little problematic. We just provide you with an account, log on, put your pages there. You're entirely sort of responsible for your own pages. We can help if you need to, if you need us to upload them for you, but we prefer it obviously from a point of view if you're in desperate straits or whatever, that you need to have these things sort of detailed and stuck in your business continuity plans. Janet Web Hosting, again, this is a third party service that we use through RM Education. Allows you to either you run it as a production site or as a backup site, again, enabled your organization to have off-site contingency. It runs on Windows 2008 or a Linux Red Hat platform. The Linux side obviously handles the LAMP stack. It's not designed for large websites. you know, 10 gigs onwards, anything up to 100 gigs, fine, but anything over that, I wouldn't think about this. But for a backup purposes, it's got all the requirements as needed. SMS text, again, it's a very simple service, just reprocured it. We've had organisations who needed to use this, they needed text. I think University of Strathclyde had a big fire, it took down some of their buildings, they needed 50,000 texts like that. The beauty of the text service is it has got a provisioning tool, self-provisioning tool. As long as the master account logs on, you can order up to 500,000 texts in one go. Obviously, it has a little caveat that obviously if you hit the button to say, yes, I accept the terms and conditions, you're going to be faced with an invoice. But obviously, you can scale that. You don't have to take 500,000 texts. 50,000 texts is what I think they needed. But other organisations have had to go a lot more than that. And that's 50,000 texts in one go. So you could actually go a lot more. So log, you know, one. That's just one invoice's worth. Again, beauty of it, again, is from the sort of side from resilience and whatever. Is it web-based, do it from anywhere, it's secure, it's, again, not a very sexy site, but it's basic, it's good, and it's strong, has all the features that you require for uploading lists and things like that, and obviously if you need to build in any back-end integration, there's a lot of it there available. But you need to talk to page one directly about that, but we'll obviously do the introductions. And those sort of services are chargeable. But the basic service of just having it, don't even need to use it, it's free. So you can set up, create an account, they'll create you the portal, it's ready to go, and you can just use it. You don't have to buy anything until you want to, just as long as you press that button, accept the cost when you need it, away it goes. They normally sort of look at about 5,000 texts being the minimum, which is just under £200 now. The texts are also are only for a 13-month period. It's 12 months, it's a prepaid service, basically, that allows you then, obviously, in the 13th month, if you buy any more, they'll credit you back any unused texts. But this is the trade-off. People want to, people are sort of talking about, you know, do we want an we want an invoice, a post-pay. But in order to get the attractive price of 3.7 pence, I know some people say, well, actually, we can get that better. But that's one text will cost you. If you bought one text from page one, it'll cost you 3.7 pence per text. Whereas a lot of organisations, we had a couple of universities saying, well, we can, you know, we want 60,000 texts and we get 3p. But it's the question then afterwards of how much does it cost after that? If you only wanted 5,000, then you start to find out they were going back up to 6 pence a text. So we had to sort of try and take an average there of what the customer would pay, what suited the community, because we had to think about aggregation as well, small and large. The large organisations help the smaller organisations in keeping the fees down. Janet 3G, we had to deploy this. We deployed 21 organisation in London. Their circuit was accidentally ceased. And I hasten to add it was the supplier who ceased it on by mistake, not Janet. We deployed, I think, most of these services to them within 24 hours. That's their DNS, back up their mail. In fact, we went as far as getting them onto Microsoft 365 to get key accounts set up on there. But they use 3G for basic communications, just some connectivity. Again, things like trying to get to your DNS, make the changes there, pointing it to the websites and things like that. This became really useful for them and for those additional people to sort of have a little bit of extra support and resilience. Right, okay, it uses the features here. It has a sort of support for the authentication processes that are used by EduRoam. It's not an EduRoam certified service. I'll hasten to also mention that. Because we do have to have, because of the way 3G works, you can't pass the packet without having to become clear text when it goes from the master to the supplier. They use, which is AQL, they will then bring it into server there, an edge your own server, a radius server there, and then basically it gets encrypted that way forward. So there is that, might be mindful though, that if you're using that for edge your own, that there is that potential of passing it, your credentials in clear text between the mast and the supplier. But if you're not too worried about the business risks on that, and a lot of organizations don't seem to be, that it's worked well. You can turn off the edge your own authentication because of your authenticating servers are behind, you know, behind the break. Obviously, your 3G SIMs aren't going to be able to authenticate against anything. So you can elect to have them all switched off. You don't have to buy it with edge your own enabled. You can buy it specifically without edge your own. But again, you have the process of being able to sort of speak to page one, to AQL, sorry, to ask them to sort of take it, put in or take out edge your own authentication. But that's obviously going to be during the working day, so you might need to have a little think about that. You may want some SIMs that are, your day-to-day is okay for edge your own authentication, but others for your resilience and things like that, for your packs, your service continuity packs and plans, you might want to have a couple of SIMs set without edge your own being enabled on them. You can use your own IP space as well if you really want to. I've had a couple of organizations who've tried it. I'm going to say it worked well in the end, but it did have some issues with the actual routers and things like that, and the firewalls. Some of it was just the Cisco patching and things like that. The IOSs need updating. Each SIM has its own static IP address, its own public IP address. So if that's important to you, especially for firewalling and things like that, you can allow these things to go through. Then, again, this is quite a unique feature amongst a lot of the 3G suppliers. And I think at the last count, there's 24 different varieties of tariff. So it's just a plain old simple SIM if you want it, all the way through to MiFi units, and I think, and also obviously if you want iPads as well. But we can support the nano SIM, the micro SIM, and the falls the old good old standard SIM as well. But the nano SIM at the moment has to be cut by AQL on your behalf. So yes, they'll produce it in 24 hours, but there may be a slight delay if they need to cut a nano SIM, if they haven't got any available. But they will be, the nano SIMs will be freely available from, I think it's the end of April. Any questions? But before I say that, I know you might be thinking, oh, what's the thing about resilience? Well, all of these things here is it can be built into, especially like the backup master and things like that, and auto failover. Those sort of things can be built into your continuity plans and also into your resilience as well. It says, what do I do, okay, with this? I can allow for the websites to pass over, which is what seems to be the key thing at the moment is web presence, continued web presence is what people want. So on that score, I shall shut up. And any questions?
Brilliant, yes, thank you. Can I just, question already. Can I just say, when you do ask questions, please say who you are and what organisation you're from. Sorry.
John Linson from the Sanger Institute. Are you looking at doing any GeoDNS, so being able to offer different IP addresses out based on the location of the request? So we can set up mirror sites for West Coast, US, Asia.
Right, I'll stop you there before you let you. It's a good question. I don't know that side of it because I'm not on the operational, but my colleague behind you, Rob Stone. Rob Evans, sorry, I beg your pardon.
It's interesting, quite a question actually, because it's come up in the context of transnational education as well. And so it's something that we've not done yet, but we're looking at maybe having at least starting some conversations with some of the content providers like NetFlyer and see that.
Well, we're currently looking at doing it via Amazon Route 53.
Well, I say, please talk to me. We can look at that. I can pass back with the guys in London and discuss those requirements. Again, we're doing an awful lot. Yeah, it was at Cardiff University and Bangor. Again, there were some things going on there as well. And we've done it with other services as well. So it's just a question of what you want, how we can achieve that. But I'm sure we can do something. But like I say, Rob, you know, as I say, it's something that's interesting and I think we need to look into at some point.
Are there any more questions for Andy?
Sorry, it's a bit dry. I'm not normally used to standing in front of people. Normally, I normally bore you to death on the telephone. Or you get one of my famous emails, which is about three, four foot long if you printed it out. It's just I try and sort of bespoke things to you. So when I talk to you, I'll look at your zones and things like that, and I can see exactly what it is that you require and understand how it is. Because it's a bit difficult sometimes for me to sit here and just talk generally about these things. It's just this question of, I like to advise people. I like to help people. Yeah, like I say, we're talking about Martin King, I think he's talking later on. You know, we sorted him out, and like I say, for him, for all his resilience plans, you know, 8 minutes is what it took for us to sort of sort him out to make sure that he had a fully resilient service. Not promising that we can do that for everyone. Normally, it's a good few hours, but we can do that. TTLs are the worst bit, expiring times and things like that. But we do have organisations who, big and small, and increasingly bigger ones, unfortunately, that forget the simple things in life, like saying, checking that the expiries on the SOAs are at a reasonable time. We normally sort of look at about sort of 4 weeks, but I've seen universities with 1 day. So I don't know if that's a Microsoft box thing that they've sort of implemented. I don't know. The portal isn't designed to take on the likes of InfraBlocks either, but equally, our portal is free. InfraBox is a very, very expensive and complicated beast, and that serves more in your strategic views of your requirements for DNS. But anything you need, just talk to me, and we can come up with something, I'm sure. Right, thank you very much. If you need me, or want to talk to me, or want to have a look at this portal and see how easy it is to actually log on, as long as I can remember my originating IP address, then I'm more than happy to show people. And they go and play if they want to as well.
That's great.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank Andy and you.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.